Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your blessing. Thank you for your presence. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a big clap offering tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. It's wonderful that you're out here tonight on such a stormy night. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. God bless every one of you for coming. God bless this choir for coming out on a stormy night like this. But I tell you, we're going to praise God, and He's here tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Years ago, I learned that we had some of the greatest meetings when it was bad weather, because folks that came out really wanted God. Hallelujah. Let's thank you, Jesus, tonight. Praise God. Thank the Lord. The blizzard didn't keep you home. You came out. And the Lord knows that. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Would you just stretch your hand out here and pray with me tonight? Praise God. Jesus, we need you. Now I ask you, Father, give me your word. I'm not up to it in myself. You know that, and I know that. We ask God for the Holy Spirit to speak to us tonight. Open this word. Talk to us. Minister to us. We need you, God. Now put the words in my mouth, God, that I ought to say. And take from me words that shouldn't be said. And let your name be glorified. And let your word be spoken in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now in the 19th chapter of Matthew's gospel, it's a very important story. And starting at the 16th verse of that chapter, now, behold, one came to Jesus, a man, and said to him, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that's God. But if you want to enter into the life, keep his commandments." So he said to him, "Which one?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt not murder. You shall not commit adultery. Shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said, "All of these I have kept from my youth. But what do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go. Sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me." The young man heard this, went away sorrowful, no doubt dropped his head, and sorrowful left. One of the saddest stories in the Bible, because this young man had an incredible opportunity. Great opportunity to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, "You'll have great wealth in heaven. And come, follow me." So sad that he turned the request that Jesus made of his life away. He might have written one of these gospels. I've often thought of this young man. What would it have happened if he had have said, "Yes"? And Jesus said, "You come and follow me." He could have been one of the writers, could have been one of the greats. We'd have read about him in this book. He would have had eternity. He would have had riches. God would have taken care of all of his needs. He would never have gone without. He might have lost this. We don't know what happened to him. He might have lost everything. Something could have happened. Wall Street folded up, their financial system collapsed, his money left. We don't know what happened to him. But we know what would have happened to him had he just said yes. Now, often when we pray, God asks us for something. When you pray, you get closer to God, you begin to seek God, you begin to call on God, and then God speaks to you and he says, I want you to do this. And he asks you for something. And he calls on you. And the secret is, when God speaks to you, is say yes. Tonight, he's going to ask people in this audience and the things. He's going to, in the future, he's going to be asking you for some outstanding things. He'll ask you. He's going to call you. He's got a plan for your life. And you've got to say yes. Saying yes is the secret. Yes to God. Yes when he lays his hands on you in a certain area of your life. Yay, saying yes, and it will change your whole life. God has a plan for every life. Everybody in here, God brought you. He has a plan for you. And his plan is different from your plan. Your plan is never God's plan. His plan is never your plan. So number one, just get that down is number one. Whatever my plan is, that's not his plan. His plan is different. His plan is a great plan. His plan is incredible. Now, I'd like to give you an illustration. The reason I'm in New York is because of my mother's prayers. My mother was praying. You know, I know the story. My father left 2 months before I was born. Never saw my father till I was 13 years old. For years we didn't know where he was. He left, writing my mother, went to Florida, and we lived in Connecticut. We were from Connecticut, and then he quit writing, and he just disappeared. And my mother had 6 children. That was 2 months or 3 months before I was born. And I was the 6th child. My mother raised us by praying and trusting God. No state aid, no help in those days. There wasn't any. And it's such a story and such a miracle that how God provided for us and raised us. And I've always had a weight problem. Isn't that interesting? We were the poorest people going, but we always had plenty. And God always took care of us. And my uncle, after we moved back down south where her people live, my mother's people were there. And my uncle, a Baptist minister, gave us a little house, bought a little house for us in the country, and have had about an acre of land in which we used to help us live, and we survived. And he was a wonderful Baptist minister. He wasn't a wealthy man, but he was a man of God, a great man of God, and bought us this house and paid the taxes on it every year, kept it for us, and we lived there. That's where I lived. And when we had a prayer meeting, I'll never forget that prayer meeting. When you ask me of my mother, I just think of one thing, prayer. When we have these prayer meetings, if my mother was living, you could rest assured if she was here, she'd be part of it. Her whole life was prayer. That's what she was, a praying woman. That's how we survived, was it through prayer. One thing, just through prayer. That's how we made it. And she was having a prayer meeting. We were seeking God. My brother had been killed, and I was 13 years old and on my way to 14. And my mother had a prayer meeting, and God said to her, leave everything, leave your home, and go back north, go back to Connecticut. She didn't know where, but she just knew, said, leave everything. And then she's in her 50s, up in her upper 50s, and God says, now, leave everything. Leave this house that's been given to you. Give it back to your, leave it with your brother, and you pack a suitcase, a trunk, and head north, and go north, and go back. The only place you knew was Connecticut, Mystic, Connecticut, in that area around Mystic, New London and Mystic, you know the area. And she went back and went around and helped in the church in New London, preached here, preached there, preached around everywhere. And then an evangelist came and was visiting in our area and visiting our church. We had a little church in New London, a mission. And he came and preached for us and invited my sister down to New York. He was holding meetings. In the Soul Saving Station, 125th Street. Some people know the work there. In those days, a man by the name of Billy Roberts was there, and my sister went and went to the meetings. And a lady came to her in a meeting and says, "Come to me over to Brooklyn. Come to me to Brooklyn to a little mission on McDonald Avenue." And my sister went with her, and saw this little mission. And just a handful of people, 20 people or so or less, and under the elevated, and she saw these people were being, some of these girls were being abused by the pastor. And she saw what was going on. And so she said, "This place needs my mother. She'll come here and pray and see God. This place needs my mother to come here." So she talked to some of the folks, and my mother went, that was a few years later, that was when I was in Bible school. And my mother went there and she said, God sent her. She knew God sent her. She began to pray. She had nowhere to live, so she lived in the back room in back of the store. She moved in back in the back room in back of the store and had a hot plate, two burner hot plate and a bed, and there she stayed. And prayed and sought God for that work, for New York City, praying for this city, praying for that place, calling on God. And my last year, my sister and some of the folks, she came back and forth. She lived in Connecticut, but she came back and forth. And she said, maybe you should come down and visit here and see the mission. And so I came down, and I'll never forget, when I was walking, I said, "Dear Lord, where is my mother wound up?" I got off of the elevated, and I caught walking down to McDonald Avenue. It was during the war, the end of the war, and it got worse and worse and worse. The further I walked, the worse it got, and there was a big dump. They weren't picking up garbage during the war. There's a big garbage dump at the end of the halfway down the block, at the end of the block, and the second store up, this rickety, terrible-looking store. You know, you just shake the door like that, and they had somebody had painted something on the wall, and the paint had run down all over it. It was a tragic-looking place. I thought, where in the world is my mother? Where would I find my mother? And she met me at the door, and she's smiling like she's in heaven, you know? She's smiling, and she's so happy. She said, "Praise God, God sent me here." Amen. And said, "Boy, you'd have to." And so... But she was so happy and so convinced. And then when I graduated from Bible school, my mother said, "I think God wants you to come to New York." So I went down and joined her at the mission. My money ran out too. And so we had to sleep on the floor. She had the room. There was only one room, so we didn't have a room. We had we slept on the floor, in the store floor. We had somebody gave us a mattress, and we had a curtain in the store. And it was a tiny little store, 48 broken chairs. The chairs were leaning this way, that way. They were all to pieces. And so you never sat behind anybody because your chair would go whichever way you wanted it to go. And so we put the mattress behind the curtain, and we slept out. And folks nobody ever said, "Where do you stay?" We had about 12 people or so. Nobody said, "Where do you stay?" It's like we were raptured every night, you know, and came back down. And God began to bless us, and he spoke to me to stay. Don't run. I can remember putting my face against the wall and praying for a place to live. God, it is so difficult in this city in those days. But God sent us a revival, and God began to bless. Do you know, in a year's time, we had over 100 people saved, and you couldn't get in the building. It was packed out. People standing and people back there. And a lady came and said, "Somebody has left a basement apartment and they ran and the owner doesn't know they're gone." You couldn't get any apartments during the war. And came and said, "Go, I know who the owner is." And we went and the lady let us have it. We lived 7 years in a basement, three-room basement apartment. But the reason I'm telling you, that opened me up to New York. I have been preaching in New York for 68 years. Hallelujah. 68 years. Amen. You believe that? 68 years from that store. And the secret is, when the Lord said to my mother, leave here. That's why I'm in New York. My mother left and went to Connecticut, back to Connecticut. She came to New York first. And I went to Bible school there, because if she hadn't have gone there, I wouldn't have gone to Bible school in Rhode Island, where I went to Zion in those days. I went to Bible school, and God brought me to New York. And my wife and I came to New York and gave our lives in this city, other ministries as well, but primarily right here in this city. Because when a woman prayed in North Carolina, and God said, leave your home, go. And she wound up here, and she was here many years with me. She was in this city, and this is where God was trying to send us. But somebody had to say yes. You have to say yes when he says leave. Turn loose what you're doing. I can remember when I said yes to preaching the gospel. And as I went to Bible school, I still had not totally committed myself to preaching, because I couldn't preach. I was the least likely person to ever preach you've ever met. This is the truth. This is the truth. I had such a complex. I was raised poor, no father. In those days, if you didn't have a father, a very embarrassing thing. In school, they would say, well, where's your father? I don't have a father. I don't know where he is. I don't have a father. It was so embarrassing where I was. And the folks that I was raised with, we were the poorest of the poor. So poor. And, just no car, nothing, just barely making it. God provided and fed us and clothed us, but we didn't have anything. And we were the poorest. And I was poor, and I had a complex. And I was so afraid, and I never spoke. I never took a piece. And in Sunday schools, they asked me to say something. I never stood up and spoke. I never did. I always found an excuse not to. I never even spoke in Bible school. I didn't stand up till my fourth year. The Holy Spirit came on me my third year of school and anointed me and changed my life totally. Changed it. And I said yes. What I'm trying to get at is I said yes. I can remember in tears, brokenhearted. So broken. See, I realized I couldn't, but God said, I want you to preach the gospel. And that's the last thing I wanted to do, because I didn't have a public personality, and I just didn't. I knew I couldn't do it. In fact, in Bible school, my brother told me, he said, you know, Ben, you could never preach. We know that. Everybody knows that. But Bible school will do you good anyway, you know, right? But the secret is, when God speaks to you, say yes, say yes, say yes. Whatever he says, it changes everything. Say yes to God. I remember we built this church up, and I was praying, and we had a church in Bay Ridge on 7th Avenue, 64th Street, the church there. And we had built that church. And I was praying to pay for it, trying to make the mortgage. We had a poor congregation. And God said to me, I want you to give everything you have. Give it all, and I'll make the payments. But it was, my father-in-law had given me a lot to build a house on. My brother, who was a builder, had built me a house. I had rented it out. And I sold it. Now I'm going to buy a two-family, so I'll have something to retire. I have two children, and we're getting a small salary, just enough to live on. Churches, we're trying to pay the church off, and there's just no money there. And I'm trying to save to have a retirement, to have a home. My father's helped me. My brother's helped me. And I'm trying. And God says, now take that money and give it to the church. Now, it's easy to tell the story. That's easy. But to do it is something else. It's different when God says to you something, give up something. I want you to give. Now, I had gone to my mother and raised the mortgage on her little house in Connecticut. I raised the mortgage on that and put the money in the church. We've done that. I went to the bank and borrowed money and gave that. We gave everything. But God says, give it all. Give everything. I spoke to Jean. God bless her. She said, did God say that? What would you say? You know, are you sure? I said, yeah, I'm sure. She said, well, after we thought about it, prayed, she said, if he said it, I'm with you. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's give it all. That's the smartest, one of the smartest, other than saying yes, the smartest thing I did, because immediately I had faith. God changed my life. I had faith. I went back to Connecticut, where we have our, where we come from. We were ministering in New York, but we had we go there in the summertime. My folks live there, and my in-laws live there. And I went to the real estate man and said, what have you got for sale? And he said, I've got this beautiful place overlooking the ocean, a tower, a beautiful home, a nice big house, and a guest house. And for all these thousands. And I looked at that and said, boy, that is something. God could give me that. I'm broke, absolutely broke. But I have faith. Praise God. I have faith. So I make an offer. And then somebody else made an offer. But the owner asked their agent, and the agent knew I was in the ministry. And he said, this man that made this offer is a preacher. This guy lived at 535 Fifth Avenue. It was one of his homes that owned that place. He was on Fifth Avenue here. He had in Connecticut and in New Jersey and overseas, and he had all kinds of homes, you know. That was one of his homes. And he said, give it to the minister. Let him have it. I'm not going to sell it to the other guys. I don't care how much he offers. Give it to him. Of course, I'm broke. And I go to five people and get a little money, get some money from five different people, and I buy the place. I buy it. I sell the little house. I rent the big house out, beautiful home, and I keep the tower for a summer home. I had money left over when I sold the little house to put a down payment on the parsonage on Naris Avenue in Brooklyn. Today is worth over $1 million. I bought that house. I bought that summer place. Now I'm broke. But I had given that house to the Lord. I gave that little place to God, and then God gave me that place. The rent paid that place off. I had a summer home, and I had a house, a parsonage in New York City. Praise God, and it cost me nothing. Praise God. I didn't have one penny in it. It's God. Listen, folks. What if I had not said yes when God said, give me everything? What if I had not said yes? I would never have done that. I sold the place years later when I was in school and gave it and sold the place in Connecticut and gave the church the largest cash offering they ever got. Praise God. Gave it all to the church. Praise God. Because, let me tell you something, folks. We're talking about a real God. We're talking about a God that talks to people. We're talking about a God that cares about you. And God has a plan for you. And when you pray, He'll ask you something. He'll talk to you. He wants you to put things in His hands. He wants your talent. He wants your ability. He wants whatever it is He wants from you. But if you say yes to Him, it's incredible what He will do. But you have to say yes. He's going to ask you for things. That is painful. It was painful for my mother to leave her home. And to a woman's security has great meaning. To an older woman with no husband, it had significance. And she could have had it forever. But to say no and to pack a trunk and to leave. But that's how we got into New York City. He was bringing her to this city to pray and to seek God and wanted me to come to this city and us to come. And God will speak to you. He has a plan. Oh, God has a plan and a purpose and a will for your life, but you've got to listen to Him. You can't say, oh, that's just me. No, that's not just you. You'd like it to be just you, but it's not just you. It's God talking to you, asking you, speaking to you, trying to bring you into the life that He has for you. Now, in closing, I want to give a prophetic word. Some of us are going to be called on to give our lives to the gospel. Awesome days are coming. Now, believe me, folks, before God, I know what I'm talking about. But God is going to do great things. What Dave Wilkins saw at his place overrun, it's going to happen. But there's a price to be paid. Awesome things are going to happen in this country. It's going to change. Difficult days are coming. You're going to be called upon. Make up your mind. I'm going to stand true. I'm going to stand true to God. Whatever He asks of me, small things, big things, the answer is yes. Because there's an eternity. There's an eternity for you to face. Your life is brief. It's all of mine is almost over. It's brief. It's just a moment. But we've got eternity to spend with Him. I want you to make a commitment tonight to God. And I want you to make up your mind that I'm going to go through with God. I'm going to give Him my best. Whatever He wants of my life, I'm going to answer yes, I'm His. Don't hold on to things. And don't let, in closing, let nothing come between you and the Lord. Nothing. Nothing. No person. No money. What a sad story. That story could have been one of the great stories of this Bible. He might have been one of the greats, but he faded out, saying, turning away, don't turn away. Say yes to God. Whatever He lays His hands on, say yes to God. Put it in the altar. My God, what a day when you see Jesus. What a thing. That you have no condemnation, but you meet Him with glory. He's called you. You're important people. You came out on a stormy night. God knows that. He's going to do something for you. Pastor, bring us down to prayer. God bless you, everyone.
Praise God. Thank you, Brother Crandall. Hallelujah. Each of us have to make that choice in our heart, myself included, that we're going to pay the price, whatever it is, to be loyal, to be true to God, to walk with God, and to make a difference in this world that we're living in today, a world that is growing increasingly hostile at an accelerated rate to Jesus Christ and to those who follow Him. A world in which truth is falling into the streets and evil is quickly becoming good, and good is now becoming evil. It will cost for many of us to pursue this journey to the fullest. The Lord has spoken that to my own heart many times over many years. And it's just as hard today to give it all to God as it's always been. We all have a vision of how we'd like our future to be and how we'd like it all to finish out. But our vision is not God's vision, and our vision doesn't bring about any glory to God. Ironically, it won't even be fulfilling in the days ahead. Where the fulfillment will be found is in a life that is fully covered and fully empowered by the Spirit of God. That's where strength is. That's where a future is. That's where hope is. That's where life is. And you and I have to make that choice, and we're wise if we make it today. Prayer that I pray is, I think Brother Crandall prays the same prayer that I do. I don't have the strength to do what God's asking me to do, and I know that. But I know He does have the strength. I can't make any boasts before God because I can't fulfill them. You and I don't know how we will respond when we're faced things that we've read about and preached about, and golden statues and a command to bow before them or suffer the consequence. You and I have never had to face, many of us have never had to face that, but we might have to face something very similar in our lifetime. I know that I don't have the strength, but I know that Christ in me has the strength. And that's my prayer. Lord, I will follow you, but I will follow you in reality. In myself, I know that I'm weak, but in my weakness, God, you will be my strength. You will carry me, and the song will be yours, the victory will be yours, the testimony will be yours, the glory will be yours. It all belongs to you. I want to encourage you tonight. This is a good time to, and it's a good audience actually, because you've already braved the storm to get here tonight. So there's something in your character, I believe tonight, other than desperation, there's something in your character that gives you the get up and go through the storm and to walk the streets of an uncomfortable day to come to the house of God. And it's something that if you bring it tonight, it might be just like a little boy's lunch, and there's thousands, there's such a great need, but yet you still came. And if you have the willingness to give to God the little bit that you have, he will multiply that. A little bit of courage, he multiplies it. A little bit of hope for the future, and he multiplies it. And he, as Brother Crandall said, he gave up that first house, and in return, he was given faith. It's amazing. I know exactly what he's talking about. God will give you strength. God will give me strength. We're going to need it, folks. We're going to really need it, the strength of God in the times that we're about to face. It's a great privilege to stand for God in an unpopular time, but we do need the strength of God to do it. And tonight, if that's in your heart, I know it's in mine, to go the full distance with God, whatever it is, his plan is for your life and for mine. I want to ask you to take a moment to think about it. And if that's what you want your life to be, knowing you don't have the strength or the courage to do it, but you do have the will to let God give you what you need, then as we worship just for a moment, we stand together. You can slip out of your seat tonight and come to the front of this auditorium. Brother Crandall, if you'd come back and pray with us when they do come. And I feel God's given you the touch of heaven tonight. You've made right choices all your life, and God has blessed you. And we want to finish with that same faith and that same strength. And so would you stand, please, and if the Lord's speaking to your heart, this is what you want your future to be, then come just to the front of this auditorium. We'll just make it a personal altar tonight. And we'll let God speak to us and bless us this evening.
Pastor Carter said is my prayer. I don't have that strength in myself, and I know that, just like you don't. But we can ask God. We're trusting in him to give us the strength. Give us the strength for the hour. Give us the strength to say yes to him. Give us the strength. Give us his strength. Hallelujah. Let's reach out to him. He's going to. Come on. He's going to do it. None of us have it in ourselves. It's not something that we can create it. We're just I know I don't have it, but I'm trusting in him. It is his strength in us. And he gives you the strength when it comes time. Corey Ten Boom taught me a great lesson. Corey said to me, she said, her father taught her this. When do I give you the money to go to the next, to wherever it was they were going to go? When do you get the money? She said, when you get ready to get on the bus, I give you the money. So she said, Brother Crandall, God will give you the strength when the time comes. He doesn't give you the strength to do that now. But if you'll trust him and walk with him when the time comes, because she had put her life on the line. She had done it. But she said, he gives you the strength when the time comes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the ticket, praise God, when you have to step on. But be willing. Be willing. Be anxious, be ready, and be willing to say yes. Whatever he says to you, he's going to, God is going to, many of you are going to do different things than you thought. Many of you are going to go places that you never thought of. When you go with God in these last days, many of you will do things that you never dreamed. You'll wind up in places you never thought. God is going to raise up a mighty army in these last days, full of the Holy Spirit, that'll do exploits. Praise God. And He's calling you. So don't be afraid to say yes. But we don't have the strength in ourselves. And I don't have it. I know I don't. But I'm trusting Him. He'll give us that strength. Now reach out to Him tonight. Hallelujah. All over this building, let's reach out to Him. For He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has never lost His power, nor his strength. He is the same. He's willing to touch you tonight. Hallelujah! He's available. Reach out to Him and let Him touch you and fill you with His Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's reach out to Him tonight. Hallelujah. What He wants us to be filled with His Spirit in these last days. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. Walk with Him and talk with Him and live close to Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for raising up people out of this church, God, to go as missionaries, to speak, to carry on, and God, to work in their homes and give us home leaders and people that will work for God. Hallelujah. Send us a revival to this great city. God, shake this city. Hallelujah. Shake this city. Shake this city, God. Bring out the hungry people and let us see Your power and Your work in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, lift your hands up and seek Him tonight all over the building. He's here with you. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank You, Jesus.
Father, we thank You tonight, Lord, that we can trust You to be that source of supply, the courage that we will need, the giftings of God that will cause us to rise up above the mediocrity of just human effort, and You'll bring us into that power of divine life. We thank You, Lord God, that it's only fitting we should find ourselves in this season. Lord, for this is Your time that You can work through a people one more time. We ask You, Lord Jesus Christ, to make us much more than we are. Give us gifts that we could never hope to possess of our own strength. Give us compassion that could only be born of the heart of God, boldness that could only come from the Holy Spirit. We ask that the miraculous begin to flow through our lives again, O God. Give us courage, Lord, to speak the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord, that You'll give us the grace to fight for those who fight against their own salvation. The grace to love when it seems that people are unlovable. To be kind when kindness is not returned. Thank You for these things, God. You will make us more than what we are. You'll give us that power of Your Holy Spirit within us, Lord. We ask You tonight for a fresh baptism of Your Holy Spirit. God, that You would literally possess these earthen vessels and use us, oh God, for Your glory. Give us hearts that long to walk for You in that capacity. Thank You for it, Lord. Thank You for my brothers and sisters, God. Thank You for the great promise that You don't come to us because we're strong and have done it all right. You come to us in our weakness and when we know that we need You. Lord, we all need You. We need You, Lord Jesus Christ. We need You for Your name's sake and for this city's sake, God. We need You. And Father, we thank You, Lord. God Almighty, we thank You. Every door You open, Lord, we'll go through it. Guide us. Keep us away from places we shouldn't be. Keep us from powerless and fruitless works, even in Your name, Lord. And guide us into that which is life and brings life. Oh, Jesus, I thank You with all my heart for this, Lord. And I bless You and praise You in Your precious name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Throughout the week, don't forget to tell your friends and your enemies that we have a prayer meeting online. Online. So if you've never been to a prayer meeting, visit us online next Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at tscnyc.org. All the instructions will be there. and tell them they can text in their prayer request and it will appear up on the screen and everybody else's screen who's online with us as well. So please do that this week. Thank you for coming out in the storm. I knew God would bless you in a special way tonight. Thank you, Brother Crandall, for a great message from the throne of God. God bless you. Have a safe trip home. We'll see you soon.